Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, a man in England was found guilty of illegally dumping 7,600 tons of waste.
Tony Kornheiser, my God, what was he eating? That is, you want to talk about a waste management issue? That's awful, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think we're talking about personal waste. I hope not.
Really?
I hope we're not.
Because I would go for the Pepto-Bismol pretty quickly if I was
okay, really? Really? You're going to start us off
Welcome
that way,
to PTI,
really?
Boys and girls. In today's episode, the strength of the Sweet 16 and the power of Trey Turner. But we begin today with the men's tournament, specifically the teams with high seeds and pedigrees who have been ousted. Two number ones, Kansas and Purdue, and Purdue is the headline because by losing to Fairleigh Dickinson, Purdue became only the second number one ever to lose to a 16. Arizona and Marquette on the two line out. Wilbon, what do you make of who's gone?
Tony, this is the state of college basketball, and it's kind of cool. It's different. If you're one of the blue bloods, you're one of the heavy favorites, you want to tell me to shut up right about now. But this is college basketball as we have it, with transfer portal and NIL and kids going wherever they want to play and everybody's games being on TV. Coaches can set up what amounts to a lemonade stand, get a couple of guys from the transfer portal, have somebody in that town promise them a little moolah, and guess what? You too can play college basketball into March. I think it's very cool. You know, I have, like you, existed all of our lives, our professional and personal lives, getting used to many of those teams, those schools, those coaches. It means nothing. It doesn't mean anything anymore, and it's not a surprise. You and I have been talking about this all month. We talked about it on your podcast several weeks in a row. What's the tournament going to look like? Well, this is what it looks like.
Let me ask you a question. In your right hand, is that a Tom Izzo whiteboard that you rescued somehow that he broke a little while ago?
I haven't ripped it. I haven't done that yet.
All right. So let me answer this question. First of all, Purdue, as you know, every time they were on TV and I watched them, I called you up and I said,
"You do.
They lost.
You text, you're the jinx."
So I had no faith in
them. You're the personal
I had no
Purdue faith in them. Jinx. Yes.
Yes. No faith in them. Kansas is a little bit different. That was a very good game that Kansas lost to Arkansas.
Wow, Arkansas.
I believe. And Kansas was not being coached by Bill Self. They're being coached by Norm Roberts. Bill Self wasn't there. So let me discount that. And let me tell you that the most resonant loss to me was Duke losing to Tennessee. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I, like others, believe that Duke was very, very hot and had been underseeded. And I thought that they had a pretty benign path into the Elite Eight. And I didn't expect this from Tennessee. Tennessee got a great strategy from a really good coach, Rick Barnes, who grew up in the ACC, who knows the ACC, and knew that the ACC is not a physical conference. And he told his players, you get on them. You get your body on their body. And after a while, there were a lot. My God, there were so many offensive foul calls in that game. But by the end, Duke was flustered, and Tennessee won what I thought was a really terrific game. And so for me, that was big. And there's, I mean, if you want to, it's an interesting thing, Mike. I don't know what you would guess, but I would guess normally of the last 16 teams, 12 or 13 of them are seeded either 1, 2, 3, or 4. Then there aren't, this year, there's only 9 of them seeded 1, 2, 3, or 4. And you don't have to look more than the big conference. Look at your conference stinks. Only one school is left in out of 8. In the ACC, I think it's 1 out of 5. In the Big 12, which is good, it's 2, but it's 2 out of 8. The power conferences went down. They went down except for the Big East,
Tony,
and the SEC.
Well, there's 11 conferences represented in the Sweet 16.
That's a
lot. There's not that much difference. There's not that much difference between the teams or conferences. It's just not.
You're right, and that's a change. That's a change.
And you know, it's a breath of fresh air for me. I don't need the status quo. To hell with the status quo. Let's see something else. We've been watching the same thing for 60 years. Let's go in a different direction. So we're down to 16 teams now that have won 2 straight. From number 1 overall seed Alabama to a 15 seed in Princeton. Tony, which of these 16 teams has been the most impressive to you?
So I don't have a man cave like you do, and I don't have 3 TVs like you do. So I didn't watch every bit of every single game
every
like
game.
You did.
Every game.
But there is no question in my mind that by a mile, the most impressive team is Princeton. It's not even close. They beat a number two in Arizona, and then they came back and beat a very highly praised number seven in Missouri, and they killed them. They beat them by 15. Now, I'm not going to tell you Princeton's going to win another game because I don't think they're going to win another game. But Princeton knows who they are. They play with limitation. They understand that every team they're going to play runs faster and jumps higher than they do. So they have a specific game plan for every time they go out there. And if you let them stay close, at the end, they will outshoot you and they will beat you. You cannot let them be close. We've seen, Mike, for 30 years, we've seen Princeton be such a tough first round out. And my other most impressive is your boy. It's the easy path here. It's Tom Izzo. What people that bet against Izzo in March are insane. From the Sweet 16 on, he's 18-6 lifetime.
Well, with all due respect to the Princeton narrative, which is, it's a little bit like the Duke narrative 40 years ago. I'm sorry. I see kids running and jumping and dunking, two hands in the rim off the floor. So I don't see the physically challenged Princetons. I don't see that storyline at all.
No, you didn't watch them against Penn two times.
I watched them. I see guys throwing down. That's what I see, getting to the basket and beating people. And that's what they do now because their talent level is within that much of most of the other teams. San Diego State has been impressive. Creighton, who a lot of people, including me, thought could be a Final Four team when the season started, they had a couple of hiccups during the season, but now Creighton is playing up to that form, Tony. You mentioned Tennessee, Arkansas, Xavier. How about the Big East? Which you also texted me early in the weekend, and you said the Big East is nothing. What? I texted you
no,
back
I said
to
Marquette
say,
was nothing after I was watching. Well,
yeah,
the Big East has three teams in.
You took on the Big East.
They got
They do have three teams in because UConn's one of them, and Gonzaga, and Drew Timmy, who is my favorite. Because all I hear about, talk about buying into another narrative that can be dangerous. We could spend a whole show another time on that. About what Drew Timmy doesn't have. I see him shoot a left-hand hook over his right shoulder like Kevin McHale, and I'm saying this kid is a hell of a talent, and I like Gonzaga, and you know I picked them. So I got team left. I got my other twos are out because I got Arizona and Marquette. Sorry, Doc Rivers. I root for always as a team in the Midwest, whether it's Loyola of Chicago or Marquette, often Catholic schools.
I like Gonzaga. I like Gonzaga. I don't want to like them because I pick against them every year. But I like them this year. I like Alabama, but I don't want them to win. I think it would be bad for college basketball. I honestly do. And two other teams that I like are Kansas State and Texas. I like them. We stay with
college
basketball.
Kansas State, that little point guard, he's something else.
He's terrific. And move to some coaching changes in the Big East. Rick Pitino has reportedly agreed to a six-year deal. Leave Iona, take the vacant job at St. John's. And Ed Cooley, leave Providence, take the vacant job at Georgetown. Both of these once formidable basketball schools, formidable basketball schools, have fallen off the map in recent years. Wilbon, what do these hires do for these schools?
Well, Tony, they represent hope. An immediate, just a jolt, if you will. You and I living in Washington have a more intimate sense of Georgetown and sort of despair that has been going on there now for a few seasons. Ed Cooley is a guy who idolized John Thompson. It's hard to leave your hometown. I mean, he called it again his dream job. He's leaving his dream job to go someplace at a nice price. I think he's going to be the highest paid coach in the Big East, which is saying something. And Rick Pitino in New York has a certain charm. I remember one year after the draft, Rick Pitino was in a white suit and he looked so elegant. And it's after a game, it's after the draft, it's at midnight. And we were going to hop in the car. We walked out of the garden together, out of the Felt Forum. And it was a nice 85-degree night in June. And we just said, you want to walk? And I was thrilled to be able to walk with Rick Pitino through New York City. And it was sort of a thrill because that, it seems like with all the stuff that's gone on with Rick Pitino's career in the last 15 years, a lot of it not good, that he winds up there, if he winds up, in New York City, coaching St. John's in that conference. And he helped make Providence too before Cooley. So it's so incestuous, but for those of us who've watched it intimately, it's so much fun.
Cooley is a good coach. He took Providence to the tournament 7 times in 12 years. I was a little bit surprised he'd leave Providence because, as you said, he was born and raised in Providence. He's good, though. His problem is Georgetown. I think it is beyond fixable in the near term. It's not just that Patrick Ewing had a terrible record. It's that people gave up on the program. They gave up on a team. They don't go to the games. So what Cooley has to do is get players, maybe he has to get players and convince them to stay there, which Patrick Ewing could not do. So I don't think that's 1 year. Maybe 2, more likely 3 or 4. Patino is going to be able to compete right away in New York. And I know he's got baggage. Okay, we go back a long way with Patino. He's got baggage. He's also got championships at 2 different schools, and he took 3 schools to the Final Four. Cooley is a good coach. Rick Pitino is a great coach, and he's going to tap in to the Wall Street money at St. John's. He grew up on Long Island. He rooted for St. John's. Mike, I think they could be good real quick. With all the baggage, I think that's a great hire for them. I do.
Tony, I think it's a great hire for them, too. And I think Cooley, yes, he's got a higher mountain to climb. But last I checked, Washington, D.C., not impoverished. They got some people deep pockets. Who can go NIL. And Tony, transfer portal changes the equation for everybody, potentially, right away. And by the way, Ed Cooley idolized John Thompson. John Thompson, John Chaney, his idols. And so he's going to go in there, Tony, with a certain conviction and a certain mission, and I believe a certain level of support.
It's just going to take a little longer, I think, for him.
Yeah,
let's take
I
a
do
break.
Too. Agree. Agree.
Coming up, Trey Turner puts on a show for Team USA.
And it's Joel Embiid, who Tony just won't like. Pass Nikola Jokic in the NBA MVP race. Is Matt Kelleher giving his fair share to NIL purposes? Is producer Matt Kelleher, Georgetown alum, is he involved in the Georgetown, the Hoya Collective? We need to find that out.
Not as much as you would expect.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads. Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We love our viewers, even the ones who email us. Let me see what's
mail
first
time.
Here. More impressive win by the U.S. at the World Baseball Classic over Venezuela or over Cuba?
Tony, I know for just the baseball purposes, for the game purposes, coming back to beat Venezuela was a big deal. I get that. I mean, that's, you know, from just a sports competitive standpoint. But, Tone, you know these Cuba-U.S. games, they're so politically charged, even when people don't want to talk about it and deal with it. You and I have been to these games over a period of decades. The most emotionally charged baseball games I have ever seen, ever, were U.S.-Cuba games, Tony, in the Olympics or the Pan American Games or other international competitions. It's why I love international competition. And it was politically charged in that stadium and around that stadium from all the reports we've heard from Marley Rivera and other reporting. So I'm going to say U.S.-Cuba, though I understand the nature of the comeback against Venezuela.
Yeah, I'm going to let you take the meet the press angle, and I'm going to take the Sports Center angle. And I'm going to say Venezuela, because they were down 7-5 in the eighth inning, and Trey Turner came in and hit a Grand Slam home run, and the United States won, leaving me to realize that Trey Turner, who now has 4 home runs and 10 RBI in 6 games, is wearing a Phillies uniform and not a Nats uniform, which gets me very, very sad. You're right about the politics with Cuba, but I'm going to get to something else. That's not the headline of the World Baseball Classic. The headline is Edwin Diaz hurts himself in a celebration. He's out for the whole year for the Mets. Jose Altuve out for 8 to 10 weeks for the Astros. He's the heart of that team. Mike, at some point, owners are going to say to each other, what are we doing here? Why are we sanctioning this?
Diaz didn't get hurt in baseball. He got hurt in a celebration.
There's no celebration if there's no World Baseball Classic. Oh, boy. We're stuck with this question. Has Joel Embiid overtaken Nikola Jokic in the MVP race in your prejudiced mind?
Tony, yes, this week. Yes, it may not even be the whole week. Look, it's a 3-man race. I'm sorry, Jason Tatum. I think he sort of dropped out a little bit. It's Antetokounmpo, it's Joker, and it's Embiid. And, I mean, you know, Denver had lost, like, what, 4 out of 5 or something like that? And, I know you get bored at this point of the year if you got the number one seed kind of wrapped up, which Denver does. But Philly hasn't gotten bored. They've been playing great. And it's Embiid, man. Harden missed a game. They kept trucking with Embiid. Tyrese Maxey is coming along. It's still Embiid. You can say he's yappy if you want. But he's yappy while he's putting up numbers, dude. It's Embiid today.
The genesis of this question has to do with the fact that people talked about it was wrong for Jokic to win 3 in a row. I agree with that. I wouldn't have voted for him last year. His team came in 6th. His team is in 1st place now in the West, and that matters to me. Yes, Embiid is tremendously yappy. He's a great player. I believe his team is in 2nd in the East. I believe they are behind Milwaukee. I think you may have heard of a fellow on Milwaukee who every single time he plays Embiid, he beats him, and he has better numbers than Embiid.
Not the most
Giannis Antetokounmpo, and I would vote for him, Mike. I'm not saying Embiid can't pass him, but you got to pass him, right?
Tony, it's a three-horse race. It could be any one of the three of them. And who's going to argue against Giannis? You'd be a fool to argue against Giannis.
That's
and he
my
may
feeling.
Be very well there by Thursday. We have this conversation. I may have a change of heart.
We'll see. Enough email. Let's take one last break. Still to come, Ole Miss upset Stanford in the women's bracket. Did things just get easier or harder for South Carolina?
And there's no news, good news, or bad news for Lamar Jackson. Hey, Tony, congratulations.
What happened?
This is the only show on the network that is 12 free. A-Rod free. This is the show.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Happy time, people. Happy 22nd birthday, Trevor Zegras. The Anaheim Ducks center was the 9th overall pick in the 2019 draft out of Boston University. Made the all-rookie team last year with 21 goals and 36 assists, finishing a distant 2nd for rookie of the year. But these are just words I've written. They don't do this kid justice. Video does this kid justice. He's a magician with the puck. Here's an assist after going between his legs. You like that? Here's a goal after going between his legs. You like that? How about this one, where he lifts the puck up onto his stick and drops it into the net? He's sort of the Pete Maravich of hockey.
So that's an interesting analogy. You know, the league seems to be in pretty good hands with talented young phenoms. I mean, you know, you're not going to be able to go Sidney Crosby for forever and forever and ever, and Patrick Kane, and those guys are in their mid-30s now, and they were great for an entire generation. But you're going to need young phenoms like this one. It's fun to watch them.
Not so happy anniversary, Anthony Bowie. On this day or around this day 27 years ago, the Orlando Magic guard got the only triple-double of his career. 20, 10, and 10. Boy, am I bad on this one. So why not so happy? Because Bowie grasped for it in an unseemly way. Orlando was ahead of Detroit by 20 late when a Pistons player bricked a meaningless free throw. Bowie got the rebound as 10. Then he called time with 2.7 seconds left to set up a play where Bowie could get his 10th assist. Pistons coach Doug Collins was irate. He ordered his team off the court. Bowie got his assist on a 5-on-0. And years later said, and I'm quoting here, was worth it. People can say what they want and think of me as a bad guy, but it was an opportunity for me, unquote.
You see Doug walk away from him. One of the many, 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 many reasons I love Doug Collins. And it was great, Tony, for a couple of games to see Doug Collins, who we both love, on the sideline, that's rooting right on his son and rooting on Purple. And we didn't get there, but we're proud of the way we played against UCLA, and I know Doug was too.
Happy trails, Stanford. 2021 national champs became the first number one seed to fall in the women's tournament, losing on their own home court yesterday to Ole Miss, 54-49. Stanford had been to 14 consecutive Sweet 16s. Now the first number one seed not to make the Sweet 16 since 2009. Ole Miss is an 8 seed, but they didn't sneak up on Stanford because earlier this season, Ole Miss took South Carolina to overtime. In fact, the only other team to do that was Stanford. So it's kind of unfortunate that the two teams that made the best challenge to unbeaten South Carolina found themselves in the same part of the draw.
Yeah, Tone, it is. And I wanted to see Stanford play on, but we can still see Caitlin Clark, Aaliyah Boston, Diamond Miller. I mean, there's a lot of stuff in the women's final, in the women's tournament bracket that is worth watching.
Let's go to the big finish if we could.
Let's do it.
Lakers coach Darvin Ham says he expects LeBron back at some point this regular season. Your thoughts?
That's still speculative. What ain't is Austin Reeves putting up 35 last night and the Lakers going up to 6-5 without LeBron so far during this absence. Lamar Jackson has yet to receive an offer sheet. Are you surprised by that?
I'm not at all surprised. And someone is going to stand up and use the word collusion at some point.
Yeah,
because they don't want to give him any money. They don't. Carlos Alcaraz wanted Indian Wells. Is that significant?
Well, he jumped over Djokovic into the number one spot. Joker, there's not a lot of invite to Joker to come play at our place. Not right now. The Rangers scored 6 goals on 6 consecutive shots against the Preds last night. You impressed?
Was the goalie asleep? Was he taking a nap? 6 consecutive shots? Last one, Warriors and Rockets night. Do you find that significant?
Yeah, the Warriors have lost 11 straight on the road, Tony. The Rockets are one of the 2 or 3 worst teams in the league. If they're not going to win in Houston, where are they going to win on the road? Just asking.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Dr. Howard Leibowitz, shout out.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Back on the mothership tomorrow, knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on the ESPN app or Apple Podcasts.
PTI. We're on 2?